Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hey there! Did you know that every year the average person spends more than 2,000 hours working? If you're not spending your working hours feeling vibrant and energized, then no matter how many attempts you make in other areas such as conscious meditation, conscious yoga, conscious eating, etc., you won't feel fully engaged in your conscious living journey. And that's because a large part of your time will have been spent out of integrity with your conscious living commitment. I'm Angela Loeb. I'm your host for Be Radiant Radio. Today, I want to talk about conscious living and conscious career. This is not about how to go change your career, but really kind of more about going within and figuring out what it is for you to have a conscious career. If you're committed to living a conscious lifestyle, then you'll probably want to choose a job or a career path that's in alignment with your authentic self. And here's what happens when you're in alignment with work that allows you to be authentically you. You are not only personally happy, but your joy helps to raise the vibrational consciousness of the world around you. On the other hand, when you feel disconnected or discontented or dissatisfied, just any disease, anything like that, you resonate at a lower vibrational level and you do not serve yourself or anyone else. So, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. It's a choice you make to either stay where you are in your career journey or moving forward. And like I'm saying, this is not about how to change your career, like a how-to, step one, step two, step three, but really more about going within and figuring out what that is for you to what you could do. And to move forward, though, you do have to take some steps. Even the first small step can be done, and it can be simple. It just is noticing that discontent. It bubbles up and you pay attention to it and you say, what is this discontent telling me? The next step after that might be just involving thinking creatively about other possibilities. That's what today's show is about. So if you're wondering, what else could I do besides this? You're taking that first step, and that's what this is about today. You notice and think, and then later some action can come when your heart and your mind is fully open and ready. So as you can see, making a change, it doesn't necessarily have to involve big, huge leaps unless you really wanted to. And that's why taking the time to contemplate and commit to this conscious career idea, it can be so helpful. It's really up to you and you alone to do it. And to even take this simple first baby step that gets you rolling into the next direction, I mean, that is awesome. You're focusing on conscious living and conscious career as part of it. Now, I realize that as you're listening to this, you might already be actively job hunting. You might have already taken time to consider what a great career direction would look like for you. And maybe you're past the point of really just stopping and thinking about it, and you're in the bring it on mode. You really want to get going on it. And that's fine. But I want to point out to you that even at that stage, you're in a perfect position to open up your eyes now and see who you really are and what you're meant to be doing with your life and how your career folds into that. That way you don't just jump into the next job that comes along without any careful consideration of whether it's aligned with your purpose or, and of course, your intention to live consciously. Now, I've worked with thousands of job seekers over the past two decades, and I could tell you a lot of things about how to do the job search, and that's, again, not what we're going to be talking about today. But I do want to mention the job search from this perspective. Some of the people I've worked with, they haven't been happy, of course, in their current jobs. That's why they come to see me. Though some people I've worked with are unemployed, and they're desperate to get that job that will make them feel better, make them feel like they're part of something again, like they're making a difference, being productive again. The employed ones, the people I work with that are employed, they're usually feeling dissatisfied in some way, and if they decide to do something about it, especially if they reached out to me to help guide them, it's usually because they've reached a point where their desire to take a risk and to change their circumstances is greater than their fear. On the other hand, the unemployed job seeker, they often present a different picture. They have a different set of challenges, but the main one that they're dealing with is rejection. And one of the basic human needs we have is to feel loved and wanted. Unemployed people can struggle with this on a daily basis. So whether a person is employed or unemployed, they go through, and they're going through career transition, they find themselves dealing with some form of adversity. So fear, dissatisfaction, uncertainty, rejection, anger, those are the most common ones. Even the person who has excitedly chosen the quest for a new job will likely encounter one or two of these emotions somewhere along the way. So here's the thing, adversity. It's important. It's important to address this because when you're dealing with adversity, I want to point out that it's not all bad. In fact, in early 2010, I came across a survey that they did that proved that large-scale adversity, like a recession, for instance, can really help people to recognize their own personal power. So it can be a positive thing to be faced with adversity. The survey, it was done during the 2009 recession, and it revealed that 90% of employees recognized that they were responsible for managing their own financial futures. And compare that to only about 8% of them who said that they thought it was still their employer's responsibility, and 2% who said it was up to the government. So the vast majority of people recognized that even in face of this adversity, they were in charge of their own financial future and, of course, their career. Now, at that time, I worked with a lot of people dealing with job loss. Many of them confessed to me that they had become really comfortable, kind of gotten into this comfort zone in their job, even if they weren't particularly happy at their company or in their job that they were having. So being laid off during that time, losing their jobs, it really rocked them to their roots, and it caused them to really want to examine their lives from all different angles. I remember working with one gentleman who took some time off to spend it with his young son, who was a Boy Scout. And they went camping with the Boy Scout troop all over southwestern United States that summer. And when he was ready to get back to his job search, he said, "I will never do another 60-hour work week again and miss time with my son." So his adversity made him decide to become a better father and made him more conscious in his career choices. The Indian Sufi teacher Hazrat Inayat Khan, he once wrote, "I asked for strength, and God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom, and God gave me problems to learn to solve. I asked for prosperity, and God gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage, and God gave me dangers to overcome. I asked for love, and God gave me people to help. I asked for favors, and God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed." So indeed, your career journey can be a conscious living journey, and when you decide that it is, you will receive from it what you need. Now, we talked earlier about spending time noticing your discontent and your dissatisfaction, and whether it's something quietly nagging you in the back of your mind, pushing you to want to make a change, or it's a great big dose of adversity like job loss, this is important. You can use it. You can use it to alert you to what you want and need. You can use it to push you to think creatively so that you can know what to do, to take conscious action when it's time. Have you ever heard of the old American saying, "It's too wet to plow"? It's at a basic level, it's really all it means is that it might as well. So a coworker says to you, some of us are getting together for drinks after work, "Do you want to come?" And you answer, because you don't have anything else to do tonight, you say, "Might as well, it's too wet to plow." It comes out of the agrarian age, when there was a high probability that you would have lived on a farm. That would have been your home, it would have been your livelihood. And if the field was too wet to plow, you found something else to do on the farm. You'd repair fences, work in the barn, make repairs to the house, you'd go into town for supplies or whatever. The point is that there's always something to do on a farm, and especially when it's too wet to plow. Though the majority of Americans no longer live an agrarian lifestyle, the saying "too wet to plow" is still part of our language, and it still means might as well do something else. When we follow the meaning in a modern context, it stands as a perfect metaphor for what I'm talking about, and it matches well with the concepts I came across when I was reading Wallace D. Waddell's book, The Science of Getting Rich, which is about wealth mindset. And he says in one of the chapters, getting into the right business, he says something about how you can't get into your right business or vocation if you can't do that at this time, then do what you can where you are currently in order to move where you want to be. In other words, what can you do when it's too wet to plow? So your challenge is to think of what you can do right now, wherever you are on your journey, when it's too wet to plow or you're waiting for the ground to dry. Think of whatever you can do with your time and energy instead of sitting around waiting for the universe to deliver what you need and want. Because you never know what will happen when you take action. Waddles also says, quote, "You cannot foresee the results of even the most trivial act. You do not know the workings of all the forces that have been set moving in your behalf. Much may be depending on your doing some simple act. It may be the very thing which is to open the door of opportunity to very great possibilities. You can never know all of the combinations which supreme intelligence is making for you in the world of things and of human affairs. Your neglect or failure to do some small thing may cause a long delay in you getting what you want," end quote. So there you go. Synchronicity will happen, but you need to get going on your part. You need to do your part. So anyway, I think this is a great time for a break. Let all of these concepts sink in a bit. And when we come back in, I want to give you some practical things. I want to turn this from theory and concepts and give you some practical things you can do to figure out how to get it going, how you can get started in choosing a job or a career path that is in alignment with your authentic self. So we're going to be back in a couple of minutes, so talk to you on the other side. Happy tune called Feeling Good from Jeff Harvey and Chris Martin of Purple Planet. Welcome back. You're listening to Be Radiant Radio, and we're talking today about conscious career and how to choose this as part of a conscious life. You know, I've been choosing to live authentically. I've been choosing to work in a way that lets me bring who I really am to what I do in my life for many years now. And it's awesome. It's awesome to feel fulfilled. I don't ever want to go back to living the other way. Now, does this mean that I like everything I do as part of my job? Does this mean that I walk around in a constant state of bliss all the time? No, of course not. But I do feel good about my contribution and how I get to make a difference in the world using the gifts I have rather than trying to fit in where I know down deep inside I won't belong. When you feel dissatisfaction at work, it's like how your body feels pain. Pain is useful because when your body has pain, it's saying something's wrong and something needs to be fixed or addressed. If you keep ignoring the pain, in most cases, it only gets worse. And career dissatisfaction, that works the same way. When I was a kid, I fell in love with Cahill Gibran's lovely poetic book of profound wisdom called The Prophet. And there's a section in the book about work. And ever since I read that section, I've really strived to figure out how to live and work like these specific words from that section. He says, "When you work, you are a flute through whose heart the whispering of the hours turns to music." Oh, doesn't he make work sound like it's an awesome thing? Like it doesn't have to be drudgery. He makes it sound like hearts. Our hearts can be happy. We can be harmonious, like music, when we do our work, when we work during the hours. I just, when I've read that, I've always wanted it to be that way for me. And that is what a conscious career is like. Okay, so let's talk about how to get it going for you. Of course, if you aren't feeling this way about work already. First, I want to give you a couple of questions to answer. I want you to think about the too wet to plow concept and consider, what can you do now while you aren't where you want to be yet? The first question is an obvious one. What are you putting off that you can do right now? What are you putting off that you can do right now? Once you've answered this by making a quick list, I want you to go to your calendar and I want you to assign an action time or date to your calendar to carry it out. And you can put the whole list of things that you've come up with and put those on your calendar, or just pick one. Just pick one thing and let's get you going. Now, the next question, this is if you're currently unemployed but seeking a job, the question is, what can you do to be productive while also positioning yourself where opportunities might develop? For example, what networking can you do? Can you do some volunteering? That kind of thing. Okay, so those questions should give you something to think about and to do while you're feeling dissatisfied about where you are right now. Now, I want to challenge you to think about your definition of success. And that's because when you're doing this sort of inward work, when you're going inward, all sorts of self-talk will start happening. Warning, a lot of your self-talk is not your authentic self-talking. So what do you consider to be a successful career situation? How do you define a successful career situation? And I mean more specifically than it feels good while I'm doing it, so that's how I'll know. Is it income level? How do you measure that? I mean, is it the expertise you have in your given field? Is it being able to get stuff like a house of a certain kind in a certain kind of neighborhood? Or maybe it's a little bit less visible, a little less visible measurement of success. Maybe it's something like receiving 100% satisfaction ratings from your customers, or managing a team that works with, you know, a lot of high morale, a lot of high loyalty, low turnover. Again, what is success for you? And remember, I'm encouraging you to look closely at what you think defines success, not what others think. So think about the self-talk and what's authentically you in there talking to you. Listen to that. The truth about success is that it's most fulfilling when it's being declared from a place that's authentically you, that place inside you from which you set your goals and push your potential. Okay, before we run out of time, I definitely want to give you one more real important piece of advice on bringing who you are to what you do so that you're living and working on a conscious level and you're being authentic. So imagine someone asking you the question, why should I hire you? Now, this could be applicable to you whether you're self-employed or whether you're looking for a job or you currently are employed. Why should I hire you, or why should I bring you into this project, et cetera, okay? Now, you might be thinking this has to do with, like, the answer to this question has to do with your knowledge, your skills, and abilities, and you'd be partly right. The complete answer to this question, though, includes what I call your unique promise of value. In other words, your unique gift to the world, how you show up uniquely and do your work in your way. It's what you're here to give, be, and do. And you can't help yourself. You must give, be, and do it this way. So what is that for you? A wise person once said, everyone is gifted, but some people never open their package. Do you know what your unique gift is? I mean, it's a valid question. There are so many people on the planet, either living in automatic mode out of necessity or out of habit. They're not very aware of the tools they've been gifted with, and they don't actively and consciously rise to their own potential. I see it all the time. So I know what I'm talking about because I'm seeing it, and people are coming to me because they want to get in touch with that. They want to have more of a conscious career. The poem, The Invitation, by Oriah Mountain Dreamer, begins with these lines. It doesn't interest me what you do for a living. I want to know what you ache for and if you dare to dream of meeting your heart's longing. Ah, man, that's what I'm talking about. There is something unique about you. You were born with it. Others know what it is because they come to you for that unique thing. Since you've had this uniqueness all your life, you might be too close to see it. I can tell you that's what a lot of people have struggled with this because they're just so close to it, and it's hard to see it objectively because you're in your skin, you live inside your world, and it's hard to see yourself from outside of your perspective. But why don't we use a few questions? I'll throw a few questions in the mix here, and you can use this to grasp maybe what, as you answer them, what your uniqueness might be. So here's one. What is the main problem that you are particularly good at solving and why? What is it that people come to you all the time for? What is that main problem that they tend to come to you for? And by the way, if you're thinking to yourself when they come to you, wow, this is so easy. Why haven't they figured this out themselves? That's a really good indication that that is your unique promise of value. Here's a second question. What have you learned intrinsically throughout your career that has helped you grow? What have you learned intrinsically throughout your career that has helped you grow? Why do you think that's important? It's important because the things that are motivational to you, the things that make you sit up and notice and grow and want to grow, those are really indicators. Those are strong clues. Here's a third question. What do you want to gain from your employment situation besides a paycheck? Or another way I like to put this is, what makes you want to get up and go to work every day? Putting the money aside, what makes you want to go to work? Okay? So that is a really good indicator of what is unique about you because it's a motivator, a drive, a passion that you have inside yourself. Now, the main thing to keep in mind is that you make a difference and add value. When you do something that not only gets results, it ignites you. It satisfies your soul, and that's what I'm talking about. So it's not just I'm doing this because I'm going to get a paycheck and it's the right thing to do, or I'm going to do this because I'm looking for someone to give me a pat on the back and I'll feel good about myself. No, it's not just that. It really engages you. You feel grounded. You feel in the zone. It satisfies your soul, okay? I once read something by Paramahansa Yogananda that also reinforces this notion. He said, first carefully choose your work. If you have not yet found something that satisfies you, continue to search for it. You must like your vocation if you expect to succeed. Each day, try to accomplish something, large or small, that you had always thought you could not accomplish. When you make up your mind to do something, do not give up. Success attained through determination and right action brings you more than material wealth. It gives you the joy of accomplishment. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so I've introduced you to three major concepts to help you raise your consciousness about your career choices. The first one is, what are you doing when it's too wet to plow? Okay, so if you're not doing what it is that you would love to be doing, that is your right path and calling, what can you be doing? Not only to get it going, to try to move to it, but maybe it's also to uncover it and discover it. What is it? So what are you doing? Are you just kind of like waiting for the universe to plop the answer right down in front of you, or is there something you can do? Secondly, what is your definition of success? How would you personally define success in a successful career situation for yourself? Not listening to what other people say is what they say is the definition of success, but what do you think it is? Very important for you to understand how to be authentic. And thirdly, what is your unique promise of value? When you know what your unique promise of value is, guess what? Not only is it about telling it and saying it so that you line up with people who can let you do that for them or do that with them in collaboration, but it's also about understanding how to choose things that align to your authentic self. So if you're able to use your unique promise of value, wow, you are going to be making impact. Now, if you want to know more about all of this, about how to process your dissatisfaction productively so that you can move into something that aligns with your authentic self, you want to learn more about how to figure out your unique promise of value and get other additional tips and challenge questions like I've talked about here, feel free to check out my free online course, Your Job Search is a Spiritual Journey. And what I've covered here today is in this course and more. You can watch a bunch of short 5-minute videos, dip in, take 5 minutes, watch something, and yeah, so you don't have to go through the entire course in one sitting. It's meant to go in, watch a video, download a worksheet, answer the questions when you can. It's supposed to be inspiring. And the reason I put that course together, I really want to help people turn their career journey into a conscious living journey. So if you're interested, go to courses.angelaloeb.com and you'll see the course. Okay, so that's all I have for today. Join me on May 17 for my next program called Chaos, How to Embrace It and Use It to Your Advantage. It's going to happen anyway, right? Chaos is inevitable, if it can't be avoided, how can we use it as a necessary change agent in helping us achieve our greatest potential? So tune in for that. And thanks for tuning in for this program today on Conscious Career. I want to thank Doom Dance and Purple Planet for our music. And be sure to check out the links on the webpage for these musicians, as well as to see some other resources about today's topic. I also put the link for the course that I mentioned to you. If you're interested in my books, other courses I have, programs, etc., you can check me out and all my links. I'm on social media, so come, you know, hang out with me on social media. You can go to angelaloeb.com, that's angelaloeb.com, and you can send me an email through the site if you'd like to. I'd love to hear from you. And please join me every first and third Sunday here on Be Radiant Radio, where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to. So I'll see you next time, and in the meantime, be well and shine on.